This episode is proudly sponsored by Premera Blue Cross, a not-for-profit with a mission to make healthcare work better. As Washington's hometown health plan, Premera is dedicated to providing its members with access to high-quality healthcare that fits their needs. Through its commitment to supporting local initiatives and fostering innovation, Premera helps ensure we can continue bringing you inspiring stories that drive the South Sound forward. Premera Blue Cross, always in your corner. Live1045.com is Tacoma's classic rock, featuring music, news, and views from the South Sound. Check out your new radio station. On your phone, go to live1045.com. Andrew Parks joins us today. Andrew is a key member of the Tacoma Pierce County Chamber team, and he serves as a technical assistant and program coordinator. Little background about Andrew. He earned his Bachelor of Science in pre-law and legal studies from the University of Providence. So we got an East Coaster in the house.
Yeah.
He has worked with both foreign and domestic technology companies, expanding portfolios and licensing. His background also includes expertise in intellectual property law, business development. He joined the chamber in late of May 2024 and has quickly become known for his positive attitude, inquisitiveness, and eagerness to learn. So what does Andrew do? Andrew, you want to kind of cover off from a high level?
Yeah, thanks for that really cool intro. Oh,
you're so welcome.
Covered a lot. So yeah, at the chamber, I wear a few different hats, just like, you know, a lot of different people here. I help facilitate the Pierce County Business Accelerator. It's a collaboration between the county and us, the chamber, and then we have Next Consulting as well. And then a coordinator for Business Leadership Academy. And then I do some technical assistance aspects of that, the businesses that are a part of the chamber, and the capital assets manager as well. So that's supposed to be kind of a part-time job when it comes to the percentages of what I do here, but it covers a lot of what I do as a capital assets manager for Kiva. So it's kind of a lot of different things, but
many hats.
Many hats. It's hard to kind of explain.
So it's interesting the role that you're in now, helping entrepreneurs, helping coordinate capital asset assistance, helping develop future entrepreneurs in the region. So how did you get here, Andrew? Like, can you share what led you from your pre-law and legal studies background to a role that bridges business development, strategy, and program coordination?
Working in IP law, intellectual property law, and patent law, and business law, that's all kind of the structure and the foundation of business in general. The legalities behind things, you kind of learn about how different businesses are created, how different products that are created. And everyone secretly in the IP world are nerds about business. And we always want to, like, we're always interested in the products and what they're going to do with the products and how they're going to scale the products. And if they have a product market fit or they're just applying for patents just because they want to own that patent within that country. So everyone's kind of always really interested in that. Being in that world, it was fun. I learned a lot about the aspects behind contracts and laws, but having my ear always to the kind of the world of business has always been something that I've been a part of. And this ability to be able to kind of pivot into this area, working with small businesses, and it's something that I've always wanted to do, and it was a great opportunity to do it. So yeah, I applied, I got the job, and it was an amazing ride, you know, learning about these small businesses and working with them. To kind of touch about what I did in the IP world, I worked with large corporations like LG, Samsung, and Beijing Baidu, foreign and domestic. So, you know, it was fun learning and using these different budgets they had, but I always understood the local economy was really important to me, and it affected my family a lot growing up and all of our lives every day. So it's just been a great opportunity.
So talk us through, what does a typical day look like as Andrew Parks, technical assistant and program coordinator?
So the capital assets manager part takes up most of my morning. You know, I usually get a lot of emails from people that have applied for Kiva. And the main pipeline to Kiva is PCBA, the Pierce County Business Accelerator. I'm going to use PCBA as an acronym. But a lot of folks do apply to that and apply through that. And I'm always really talking to them in the morning and figuring out their loans and figuring out how I can be able to help them through their loan process and talking to underwriters through Kiva as well. The second part of my day is dealing with the Pierce County Business Accelerator. Right now, we're working with the last class, last cohort that's going through it. And me and Sydney and, you know, most of our team are trying to work kind of re-envision the new Pierce County Business Accelerator. So those two parts really take up a lot of my day. The technical assistant, you know, part of my job is working with these small businesses that I meet through the Pierce County Business Accelerator and different things that they're going through, whether it's rental assistance, whether it's certain different things that they need to apply for. I think my legal background kind of helped with that, the paperwork aspect, and just learn how things flow through that. And then the program coordinator part, that happens, you know, a couple times a week through the Business Leadership Academy. We finished our last cohort a couple months ago, and we're working on the new one. So just being in contact with Catherine through PLU and having conversation with, you know, Sydney or Andrew about our next class. So
let's take a tiny step back about PCBA. So tell me, what is the Pierce County Business Accelerator?
Yeah, so it's a collaborative project between the Office of Economic Development, the Chamber, and Next Consulting. It's just an accelerator for small businesses and micro businesses, and in the tech world, we call them startups. But we help small businesses grow. We have different classes that they take and different mentorships that they need. And a lot of it is funded by the county dollars that they'd be able to kind of inject into these small businesses and help them with different things they may need to be able to get their footing. And it's a very collaborative project, and it's been going on since 2021, I think. Mm-hmm. But I've worked with at least six cohorts since I've been here. I've been here almost a year in May. So
how many people are in a cohort?
I would say about 25 to 30, a decent amount. I think there's different things about that are good and different things about that are tough. It's tough to service 30 different businesses with 30 different opinions and around Pierce County in general, because Pierce County is huge. It goes all the way out to Mount Rainier. And that's a population we do kind of forget about. I think we kind of talk about Tacoma just being Pierce County, but Pierce County, you know, extends pretty far. And that's kind of what Pierce County PCBA is. And we have a graduation, and we have different things that we kind of help different small businesses do. After they graduate, they get a free year membership, and then we kind of stair step their membership through that, through how much our membership is cost, you know. So
yeah, the PCBA program, for those who don't know, in general is a really incredible program for people who are, as Andrew explained, like getting their footing, or maybe they're at a point in their business where they're looking to grow or develop and they're not sure how to do that. I've been very lucky to have attended some of the Pierce County Business Accelerator like graduation expos, where all of the graduates come together and table, show off their wares, talk about their organizations. Some really fascinating startups in that mix. Also some delicious ones. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about all of the excellent food I've had at those events. But it's something where I think a lot of people don't necessarily know the depth and breadth and scope of the businesses that are supported through this program. Even more specifically in your role, Andrew, how you're helping usher students or entrepreneurs through their transition from the stage that they come in at the beginning of the program to what happens afterwards. Can you talk about what that looks like typically?
Yeah, there's a lot of intentional handholding, you know, when it comes to working with small businesses. I think a lot of these businesses that we work with, they have that product market fit. Is what they talk about in that world. It's a big deal. People have a lot of money, but not a product market fit because they want to make a quick dollar. The small businesses that I work with are very passionate about their products. And I already kind of have that product market fit, but they don't really have the education, the dollars behind it. And it's kind of helping them be able to kind of, through that process, to technical terms, the different things that they might not know about, they'll be able to help them kind of sell their products. The word capital, it means money, but, you know, it's a kind of a veil to that world. You know, you're just using different words to be able to explain things that are just very common, and just be able to kind of explain these different words and different aspects of this world to them so they can maneuver properly through that. And this comes down to the Kiva application, right? And they learn kind of about how to market themselves through this Kiva application and to borrow or to people that want to invest in their company. It's a practice that they probably get to do for the rest of their lives, is market themselves to investors, because everybody's going to want to invest in their company somehow, whether it's buying their product or if it's just a privately, you know, investing into their company. Or if they're going to a bank. So a lot of work that I do is basically kind of unveiling that world to them and showing them how I kind of maneuver through that world through the Kiva application, and then getting certain licenses they may need or certain things to be able to make them legit enough to be able to receive capital so they can move on and, you know, do their dream job or do their dream business. And also be able to kind of help them get their goals down. And, you know, are you, do you want to grow or do you need, or you just want to operate better? Or you just, you need, you know, working capital, those different aspects I kind of help them do. Sometimes I think in a way it's kind of like a, you kind of have like a therapy session in a way. I'm not a therapist at all, but you're kind of, you know, you're trying to ask them about their business and then they start understanding more things about their business. And they're like, oh yeah. And it's like, okay, yeah. These are just questions that you should be asking yourself. And I'm here to help you do that.
So Andrew, tell us, what is Kiva?
Kiva is a nonprofit organization based out of San Francisco, California, that gives $1,000 to $15,000 loans to small business owners. And it was traditionally made to give women-owned businesses funding. And these were businesses that were based out of South America. It's an amazing organization. I love that we have a Kiva Hub here. We pay for the Kiva Hub. Mm-hmm. We don't really receive any money from that. It's just something, a service we provide to our community. And it's been a great ride since I've been here, and I've learned a lot about. I've seen a lot of different people be able to be funded by this organization, and it's been great.
With the Pierce County Business Accelerator, what are some of the key objectives that the program aims towards, and how do you see it evolving to meet the needs of emerging entrepreneurs in our region?
So I think the main thing behind it is economic development. I think that's one thing that the county and the chamber really sees eye to eye about, which is economic development, and then building economic development through small businesses. You know, I think there's a lot of small businesses in Tacoma, but they need help. And there's a lot of people that could have small businesses. Tacoma traditionally has been a Black populated city, probably the most, you know, Black populated city in Washington. And I think that's an aspect to PCBA, that they're trying to kind of increase minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses in Pierce County. And I've seen a lot of them come through PCBA since I've been here. And it's been great servicing them. But I think the main aspect is economic development. You know, they're trying to just increase and do better at. I do think there's a divide when it comes to the business community, when there's a generational divide. And I do think there's an old way of doing business, and there's kind of there's a newer way of doing business. And I do see us evolving to that newer way of doing business and being a part of that. And I don't think I think it's just revamping the way we do things. And I think I think it's a good idea to do it, but in the most diplomatic way, you know, that's exactly what I think there's the old way worked, but I think we can do things a better way. And I think the chamber's been really good at doing that. I mean, you've been part of the great rebrand, and that's been fun, Mara. You've been killing it. And we all kind of have to follow that.
I agree that there's ways to modernize and kind of improve the way we go about things, and that some of the more traditional models still have their place, still have their service and application within our community, within different businesses at different stages. But there's also something to be said about giving people the education, the support, the boost that they need to take that next step, because it's not always easy. There's not always a handbook for everything for your dreams, right? Mm-hmm. And you can look at what other people have done and get ideas and kind of piece things together. But it's much more useful, as you said, to have that really intentional handholding. And for someone like yourself or other consultants or participants and collaborators that we have with the Pierce County Business Accelerator to be part of that process and take the time to understand who is the individual behind this business, what are they trying to accomplish, what drives them, what's their passion, where are they trying to go, and what's stopping them. And on the note of what's stopping them, like, what are the barriers that you find that these organizations, these young organizations, are facing the most often?
I think financial literacy is a part of it. They can have an amazing product. They can have sell the best pies in the world, but we want you to sell pies for the next 30 years or however long you want to, right? Access to capital. I think that that's a huge part as well. And I think they go hand in hand. And one thing that I kind of always kind of preach is like, please don't get a loan if you don't need one. If you're a consultant, you do not need an opinion. You don't need an office. Work from home. Get a good laptop. You don't need a loan for a brick and mortar shop. It's expensive. It's a lot of overhead. I always kind of want to be able to kind of push that forward. I'm only here to help, but I also don't want to help you get something that you don't really need. And I think you'll do great at, you know, what you're doing without this capital. But yeah, I think those are kind of the two main things that I think, financial literacy and access to capital.
If I'm a small business, what are the key questions I should be asking myself before I'm seeking capital, whether it's through Kiva or, you know, as you said, don't seek a loan unless you need it. But what are the questions I should ask myself to come to that conclusion?
Create a good product, create a good service, be good at what you're doing. Like, undeniably, like, sell something, go out there. Me and my dad, we used to work, my dad used to buy clothes from New York and sell them here for higher prices. And we used to work at the swap meet together on Saturdays. And in the morning, that's how I learned about commerce. That was my beginning of commerce. Everyone used to go work and they did it. No one had a shop, everyone just had a booth. And not saying that you should do that, but the cool part of that is farmer's market. People do have farmer's markets now, and be good at what you do and then go seek capital, I would say. And I think a good deterrent of what, if you're doing good or not, is whether you're making sales and you have some money in the bank from what you're doing. And if you have a business bank account with your name on it, your business name on it. And, you know, if you have an Instagram account, you don't need a consultant for marketing. Go out there and do it. Tech companies do it all the time. There's kids doing it in college right now, you know, and I think I really like that, you know, bare bones, just go get it done and create good products.
Yeah. If I was creating a good product and I'm making sales, I have a business banking account, and it feels like I'm not making ends meet. Maybe I want to hire an employee. Mm-hmm. Are those stages where like access to capital or increasing capital access makes sense, or how would you recommend someone approach a situation like that?
So you have a good product. You're just kind of not making it.
Maybe I'm not growing at the rate that I need to see that return.
Okay. So I would try to go back and find out, you know, like, are you losing money on certain things? Like, what type of strategies you can do for free to be able to kind of increase your sales? Feel that, like Howdy Bagel. Like, you know, that's a really great example. They were at farmers markets and they created good bagels and everybody loved them. They're like, hey, create a shop. And they did that. And I would say, you know, find out where can you do things for free. And if not, then yeah, I would say go get a loan. And one thing I want to kind of push forward as well is that if you're getting a $15,000 loan, you know, pay it back, you know, 0% interest. And then after that, go to US Bank and go get a different loan. Like, build your business credit. Like, keep on going. It's okay. You know, it's okay to, you know, living off of credit when it comes to your business. Like, people do it in their personal life a lot. Just break even. Try to break even eventually one day. I look at it at that, you know, like, go to Chase Bank, do those different things. Make those relationships with those bankers. You know, go to After Hours. You know, like, make those relationships with those people because they're going to be your friends because you're growing your business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, yeah.
We do have a lot of banks in the chamber as members. And they, honestly, some of the most awesome people, really staunch believers in the power of community, always interested to know what people are up to. I haven't had a negative experience at all. And I think that that's also like a perception issue that like the banking industry has to a degree. And it, I think, prevents a lot of people from moving forward in that space because there's some fear involved or they're not sure, or there's the financial literacy component that you talked about that acts as that barrier. But I mean, really, these are our neighbors.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Some banks, some community banks that exist, they are even more invested in the success of our local economy. Can you talk a little bit about how micro businesses contribute to the larger economy?
Yeah, I do think that they're a centerpiece of our economy in a lot of ways, and they've always been there. We've kind of forgot about them, you know, due to large corporations. They don't forget who you are. You know, they know who you are and you can relate with them. You can build a relationship with them. They understand your needs and it's a part of your community and they're investing back into your community, which is important. The dollar stays within your community. It circulates throughout your community and everyone sees it. You know, if the taco truck on 6th Ave gets a brick and mortar shop, that affects me. Like, that affects me somehow it's in my community. Like, you know, and it's good. It's a win. It's a win that our community is glowing up, you know, and if there's less vacant shops and there's more businesses within it, that helps my community as well. The economy is flowing. I think it just helps everybody.
We talked a little bit about PCBA. Yeah. How else does the chamber help foster community growth and support local entrepreneurs? And like, what other role can the chamber or yourself play in that process?
I think the chamber's like, it's very implemental in a lot of different things with the community. I've just seen in the last like year, but every day I learn something new. Like I have a conversation with somebody like Ryan Spence and what you're doing, you know, like everything you guys do, all the events you guys do. Also like the Candidates Academy, that's huge, right? It's getting like what you guys are doing tomorrow. But small businesses are allowed to be able to get into government, which is huge. They have a say what goes on. I think that's the whole reason why people want to be able to own their own business. Traditionally, it was always like, oh, that's a way into having some type of say what goes on in my community. When you have people in your community, when you have business in your community that don't really care about your community, then you have less say because the dollar's not really circulating in your community. And also, like, they don't really care as much. They could pull out whenever they want. There's a lot of different things within, like, whether it's Business Leadership Academy, bringing people from all around the companies from Tacoma, like Pierce County Transit, Pierce County Energy. They're all coming to learn from PLU, and which is a huge university here, and being a part of this community with banks. And there's so many different things that are going on. It's hard for me to even like grasp everything, like DTP, what they're doing. There's public facing events, but also there's a lot going on in the background. I mean, the revamping of the whole entire chamber, that was a heavy thing to do. Heavy lift, right?
Like, it's still happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, and I'm sure you can relate to this, just because one thing ends, it doesn't mean everything's over. There's so many other lines of work that are taking place that are in parallel or intersect, or maybe something's perpendicular. There's definitely work that we're all doing, sometimes in tandem, sometimes separately, to move the ball forward, get to that goalpost. Mm-hmm. But it does seem, and a lot of times, and this isn't just, you know, specific to Tacoma or to Pierce County, but when we think about what that goal, what it means when we get to that goal, it just means there's another 100 yards we got to go.
Yeah.
Right. There's another mountain to climb, another series of challenges that we have to work on together or overcome with one another, in order to get to the next set of challenges. And so it's a privilege to do that work together. It's also such a victory when we hit that moment. And then it's just time to reset and go again. So I can appreciate that, you know, and when it comes to economic development, it is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And it takes that bit by bit every day with all of us working together to get there.
You're constantly in founder mode. It's like the thing they talk about in the tech world, right? You're like,
yes,
there's something going on, fix it now. You just like go in and fix it. And you're like, yep, there's a signature off, I'm going to go ahead and fix it now. And I'm like, that's actually dope.
You know, we talk a lot about creating small businesses and all the impressive work that the chamber's engaged in. And you mentioned PLU in regards to the Business Leadership Academy. And we do have incredible partners there too. I think the chamber is really blessed with the number of strong partners and organizations that just want to help. Can you talk a little bit more about the relationship with PLU and BL and the Business Leadership Academy?
Yeah, it's been going on for a while now. I would butcher it. I think about 6 years.
Okay.
I think, yes.
But Dr. Catherine, she's lovely.
Catherine Pratt, amazing, very smart, very, I learn a lot from her, just talking to her about certain things. She like consults on the side and she was kind of telling me about what she was working on. I was like, that seems amazing. I guess we've had a collaborative, I guess, relationship with them for a while now. I think other people within PLU have been a part of that as well. You know, close ties. The Business Leadership Academy in general helps different business leaders from around the county come together and they learn how to be leaders. And they have leadership training. They're already leaders, but they get leadership training to just better make them better leaders. Mark Mulder, the dean of the business school, I've gotten in contact with him through Kirsten, who works at Spakesworth now. I have a great relationship with him as well. So I just think there's just different people within PLU that just work well with the chamber. I know everyone seems pretty cool from there. Ms. Dr. Mark Mulder, he's a huge fan of Kiva. I've had conversations with him. He kind of want to help collaborate I want to be able to collaborate with him on certain projects that we want to do there for students using the case study method. Mm-hmm. Cool. Those are conversations that we're having, and it's been a great relationship so far.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So.
So I just want to like give people more of an idea. Can you kind of can you shout out some of the PCBA graduates? I think people would be surprised to know some of their favorite small businesses have actually gone through the PCBA program. So can you kind of shout out a couple that people would recognize?
Creatives over there on 6th Ave. There's a big sign. You've probably seen hers before. I love elotes.
I love elotes.
Amazing.
Jan Parker. Yeah. She's a PCBA grad.
Yeah. PCBA grad, Jan Parker. Mm-hmm. Catherine Skelton has a really cool business. The Broadway Gallery. That's pretty cool. It's over here on Broadway. Dion. Very cool artist. Has little cool things going on.
I'm sure often like you think of them too, and you think of the person and not the business name.
Yes. And that's hard.
Yeah. But good too, right? Yes. You're thinking about the person behind the business.
Yes, because you forget they're running the business. Yeah, I think those are like some of kind of the small business that people probably would know because they have brick and mortar shops. I think it's fun learning about the community and learning that a lot of different people are entrepreneurs. One thing that I do kind of stand by is that entrepreneurship and small and business ownership, it's a privilege in a lot of ways. It's a privilege because I wish it was a right for everyone to be able to own a business. But in the beginning, it's your baby, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be able to work and run a business. And if you're able to do that, that's a privilege in itself. That's really hard is to work and take care of yourself and run a business. Mm-hmm. And then eventually make enough money in your business to quit your job. I've seen a lot of small businesses not be able to do that. And they're asking me questions about how to balance that. And it's tough. It's very hard. You might need to get a third job. Mm-hmm. It's become a privilege. Do I think it needs to be a privilege? No, I think a lot of people should be able to own a business if they want to own it. But just like anything, you know, it takes a lot of time. It takes sacrifices.
What advice would you have for young professionals or entrepreneurs who are interested in starting their own business?
I would say learn how to do what you're doing now better. Just be good at what you're doing right now and do well at your job. And then you're going to do well at the job, the business you're running too, because you're going to learn how to have discipline. That taught me discipline, waking up every day and going to work. It teaches a lot of people discipline, and you're going to need that same discipline when you're running your business. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, learn the art of discipline, and then run your business just how you're doing everything else in, because that's what you do, because you're just used to it. It's a privilege to be able to own a business, and you'll treat it as such if you do it that way. It won't, like, you know, blow up in your face a month or 2 months later.
And nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that, you know, no. And just from my own experience seeing it.
What changes or improvements would you like to see in Pierce County, in our small business community?
I'd like to see collaboration more. I'd like to see a lot more collaboration, like, you know.
Okay. Like what? Give me some examples, if you can.
Businesses should be connected more. Mm-hmm. People should be connected. I think DTP had a presentation this past fall. They went to a conference and they're talking about areas where, I forgot the zones they called them, where people are just hanging out and enjoying for free. Mm-hmm. They're not spending money to hang out in an area of the city. If small businesses were able to come together, or businesses be able to come together and understand that this area, this block is a desirable place, let's build something for people to hang out in. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a lot better. Like, we were walking downtown today getting pizza, and I was thinking this corner looks like an area where people probably should be hanging out. Like, you could probably have live music there in the summertime, or a sandbox, or you can recreate an area kind of about that. So I think people coming together and having collaboration within their community, whether it's downtown or 6th Ave or, you know, anywhere else, to build a place where people want to go hang out and have fun and stay so they can spend their money more, right? And mm-hmm. the dollar can circulate better. So I personally would like to see that, just, you know, building areas and ecosystems where people can just, like, enjoy themselves and don't have to be forced to spend money to be inside of a shop.
Yeah. I feel like they're, you know, one of the things that the Chambers tries to offer to people is that gathering space, mm-hmm. is the opportunity to connect with others and share what's working well, what's not. Like the South Sound Business Roundtable that takes place, I think it's twice a month.
I
Yeah. They, you know, it's an open space for business leader to come together and share their trials and tribulations as well as their successes. And it's a safe space for that reason. The agenda is set by attendees. It's the chamber does not push an agenda or supply one. It's totally up to the attendees as to what they want to discuss, what's happening in their world, whether it's in response to new policy or laws, or maybe it's tax season, maybe they're having an accounting challenge or a cybersecurity concern. These are all topics that are brought to the table and discussed, and people offer support and solutions and points of connection too. Like if you, we're very privileged, we have, you know, InfoBlocks, for instance, in our region, and they're an available resource to us and can be a resource to other people if they have a specific cybersecurity need. And there's lots of other organizations that also offer some comparable services. So I agree, collaboration is one of the opportunity zones.
Do you see collaboration? How's your, like, is the revamp and the rebrand of the chamber, do you think, were you able to kind of have collaboration with like other businesses or other other chambers to kind of help you with that? Because have you done a chamber a revamp ever?
I have done rebrands before. There's a health equity nonprofit in our region called Elevate Health. And we did a rebrand from them, a complete website rebuild, created all of their foundational materials. It's really fun to see now because, you know, I worked in collaboration with our internal team and our creative stakeholders and my marketing lead at the time, who I'm still very close with, to create that new brand. And it's funny because I have other organizations that I've worked for in the region, and two of them are actually sharing an office marquee now on 19th Street. Oh, wow. And the brand that I made is bigger than the brand that I used to work on after that. That's actually much older. Yeah. So there's like a little bit of personal delight in seeing that just because they have the bigger space. It's not for any other reason, but it's nice to see them side by side and shoulder to shoulder, so to speak. I know that the chamber did work very much in collaboration with staff, membership, board of directors, our creative partners at Rotator to create the brand that was launched in fall at the annual meeting. And since then, you know, there's a lot of adaptation that's coming with that, that I've just been trying to put legs underneath it, essentially. And in that regard, get a lot of channels running more smoothly or running at all, and kind of delving back into some of the partnerships and collaborations that we've had in the past, whether it be with South Sound Magazine or PSBJ. You know, we worked with Debbie Cockrell, the Tacoma News Tribune, for Horizons programming. I mean, Horizons was a real
result. Cool.
So much collaboration there. We worked with Brookfield Properties, you know, Workforce Central, Tacoma Housing Authority, April Black and Katie Condit. We had people from Puget Sound Energy, Tacoma Public Utilities. I mean, really just, you know, Transmontane Partners, Par Pacific / U.S. Oil. We had a lot of organizations and experts and thought leaders in their field who were very generous in donating their time and morning to us and all the lead up time before that. To make sure that we were providing value to attendees and giving them insights into what's happening within, you know, the housing sector, our energy transitions, and the labor market. So, and inflation. So there was a lot of active partnership happening there. And I got to meet so many wonderful people in the process. And, you know, I'm hopeful that I'll get to bring some of them back on here and dive more deeply with them. But yeah, that kind of work, it's always happening. And, you know, last night I was at a event and, you know, people were talking amongst themselves about, you know, I see things are happening on the North End or they're happening in Ruston, but they're not happening on the South Side or they're not happening in East Tacoma. And how do we foster that partnership and collaboration? And people, it just with the sheer fact that the conversation was happening gives me hope. Yeah. And makes me believe that those opportunities and outcomes will happen because people are paying attention and talking to another. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, they're listening to one another. So yeah. I'm always kind of like bolstered yeah. by that kind of activity.
So physical, I see like STW is like a thing. South Tacoma Way. And they have like, I get my hair cut over there. Like Howdy Bagel's there. Mm-hmm. They have like the roasters there now.
So I'm going to shift gears more into relationship building. So looking back on your journey, Andrew, what's been the most surprising or rewarding aspect of your work at the Chamber?
I think like talking to people that I help get funded or I help through their business and hearing where they are, hearing where they started and like where they end up and how much effect the Chamber has had on them. I think that's really cool seeing that happen. I know life is hard and getting things moving is hard. And there's sometimes just so many different things you have to do to be able to get things moving. And if we're able to help them through that process, it's a win because we've done something good for society in a way. And we help their dreams come true in a way. The relationships that I build as well, mm-hmm. that's I can be a familiar face. I can be out to come and I see someone that I saw at some event and they give me a Chamber discount. And I'm like, wait, what? You don't know? They're like, no, you helped my business in this way. And it wasn't even me. It was probably a guy 2 years before me. But what he's doing right now is echoing into my life. Mm-hmm. So we're always going to do things. We're always going to plant seeds that the trees we don't see. So, yeah.
I love that saying.
Yeah, I think it's cool seeing things grow. And yeah.
You know, what I've been impressed with a lot with you is that you are so good at building relationships. I hear you I sit very close to Andrew in the office. And so I hear him on the phone. I hear him taking calls, helping people, you know, going above and beyond than what someone would consider a 9-to-5 kind of job situation to really be, you know, we talked about intentional handholding, but you are present with these individuals when they need you. And to the point where they have your cell phone. They know how to reach you. They've got all the details and all the ways, and they know about you and you know about them. So I'm really curious as someone who's always, you know, I want to grow, I want to learn too. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are interested, you know, what are some of the key like strategies or principles that you apply when you're building lasting relationships, especially in a professional setting? Where sometimes you might, you know, feel like you need to have a boundary.
When it comes to people in our community, I think just really getting to know who they are as a person and having conversation outside of what they're doing to kind of get a feel of who they, you know, what they like to do. You know, like me and you talk about basketball, you know, and we talk about, you know, whether it's like music, art, whatever. Just kind of get a feel of who they are and what type of person they are. They have kids. I don't have kids, but they have kids and they might be frustrated with this loan that they're trying to get and they're running this business and they have different things that are going on. And, you know, so I have to kind of be patient and really get to know them and for who they are and just build that touch point, that relationship and just kind of have conversations outside of what we're doing so I can get like comfortable with them. So I kind of know how to just talk to them in lamest terms. And then I think once that's down, that veil is down, then things are more smooth. If I'm talking to them like an AI bot, then it doesn't really connect to them because these people are my community. They're part of our community. So I want to be able to talk to them in lamest terms. I just think kind of being able to have basic conversations with them about other things outside of work.
Would you describe yourself as an empathetic person?
I would describe myself as that. I care for others and I try to understand others as much as I can.
I would describe you as empathetic, just for the record.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Can you describe or could you describe a time where your relationship building skills made a significant impact on any of the projects or initiatives or even a particular partner that you've worked with?
There was a small business and it was a really good business and they're applying for a loan. And they went through, at a time, they went through bankruptcy. But it was showing on their profile that they were currently going through bankruptcy, which you can't really apply for a loan if you're going through that. And it kept showing and it kept showing. And I kept calling Kiva about it and talking to Kiva about it. And I think the applicant got really frustrated with me and just the process of Kiva. And he was like, I'm done. Like, you know, I worked my butt off. My company's really good and I deserve this loan. And so we sat down and went through all of his documentation together and we lowered his default probability score because we're able to make changes on the different financial aspects of his profile. And I think going through that was really cool, just like learn about like the history of his business and what he's done. And there's certain different things that he got wrong on there that we corrected, and it helped his business to be able to get a loan. And his probability score went all the way down. And we were talking to the people from Kiva and they're like, oh, that's exactly what you need to do. Okay, this shows that you're not going through bankruptcy at all because you did your taxes wrong when you did this. And so I think just be able to sit down with them and get the papers out and really get things going. And I think it's helping his business now because now he knows how to kind of move because he's going to end up getting a loan again from a bank. That was one time where I was like, okay, this is really cool. I really made a difference on this business. And now they're capital ready. And they're going to be capital ready in, you know, way after this as well, when they're looking to go to US Bank or Chase or however that works. So, and a banker actually got in contact with them through me. So that was cool. So now he has a relationship with a banker. So that was, I was like, oh, that's just,
that's great.
This makes me happy.
Yeah. I'm sure it makes them happy too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too.
How do you balance, like, you know, managing, you have a lot of diverse program responsibilities.
Yeah.
So how do you find that balance between that demand and building relationships? It sounds like you have your day structured into a split.
Yeah. It's tough because at times I feel siloed.
Mm.
And because, I mean, I have support.
Right.
For sure. But, you know, I feel like the struggles that I'm going through might be pertaining to, I mean, there's other people like Spaceworks, they're kind of doing that as well. But I feel like I kind of have to find my flow. Asana has been great for that.
Our project management tool?
Yeah. So I've been able to kind of split up my time and track my time on there and see what time takes more and what time doesn't, because, you know, it'd be audited at the end of the year, fiscal year. So I think just splitting up my time through that and seeing it visually, mm-hmm. just as a calendar, just as you write down something down in a calendar, I can have that up and look at it and split it up like that. I just kind of being able to go back to kind of how I schedule my day out, just tracking it through Asana or just, you know, writing out what I need to do and just doing it like that. But it's an interesting flow. And I don't think I have a full grasp on everything yet because it's almost been a year, but I'm learning consistently every day. So, yeah.
I know, right? We all are every day.
Yeah.
But that's good to be, it's consistent.
Yeah.
If it was piecemeal, you wouldn't feel very motivated, I would think. How have your relationship building skills evolved throughout your career? And what experiences do you think has fueled that growth?
And before this, I worked in a law office. So it's very, very straight to the point, suit, tie, closed doors. There's not a lot of creativity involved with what I did there. Your people skills do kind of suffer from that because the only people skills you're getting is outside of that. And you're able to really talk shop about certain things, about like life matters only outside of work because it's a very formal setting. But I always had my ear to the ground about like, oh, like it'd be fun to work somewhere more creative, where like my opinions matter and we can launch certain things from this program that we're doing or just kind of implement certain ideas that I have about a project. That's always been great. But being in this setting, I think it's helped me kind of just grow more of what I want to do and more passions that I do have. Like I just kind of mentioned product, like product management is something that I would love to get into, right? You know, it's just something, you know, the development of a product and seeing it go to market and seeing how it grows and, you know, helping out with that. I think that's something amazing to do, you know. And law, when you're creating those products and you're be able to kind of analyze certain writings and certain literature, there's not a lot of creativity or people talking about that at all. Here, there's more of that. So I think it's always kind of been inside of me, but in the position I'm in right now, it's allowed to kind of pull out of me so I can kind of see more what's going on the other side.
what's a song you love to listen to when you wake up, when you start your day?
Disciples by Tame Impala.
Nice. Good choice. And what's the last thing you do before you go to bed?
I pray.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thank God for everything that I have and just the basic things that are important to me and wisdom, guidance, and direction. And just be thankful, just trying to be thankful. And
what are you thankful for?
Being vertical every day, having a family that loves me, having a sound mind, that's always number one. Mm. I look around a lot and life is tough, and I'm definitely thankful for having a sound mind. Just being able to be who I am freely, I think that's a privilege to be who you want to be and having the ability to just keep moving on and getting better. But yeah, I try to be thankful, just try to like sit down and be thankful and not try to like pencil push my way through life. Hustle culture, try to stop doing that as much and just be subtle. Be still. Stillness is the key. Ryan Holiday, great book.
Great interviewee.
Thank you. Yeah, that was
fun. Thank you so much.